The congregation may be seated. We want to welcome you all here today for this very special occasion, for the marriage of Tamar and Courtney as they commit themselves now to each other, to give their lives one to another and to be able to go on to enjoy what God has so graciously given to them. We're going to ask the Lord's blessing on our gathering now, please. Let us all pray. Loving Father, in our Savior's precious name, we bow in prayer today. And Lord, on this happy occasion, we're very blessed to be able to have the presence of the living God with us. In Jesus' name, Lord, we ask that we be very conscious of your nearness, your presence, your power, and your great grace to smile upon this day and to bless this couple as they commit themselves to each other in the sight of a thrice holy God. Father, we owe everything that we have to your kind mercy. We would not be here today, Lord, if it wasn't for your sustaining grace and for what you've given to us. We are blessed beyond measure. And yet, Lord, we know that today is not an easy day because of the circumstances, the restrictions on family and friends who would love, Lord, to be here to rejoice with this young couple. But, Lord, these are the circumstances that we're in today. And we just pray that you would come and give superabounding grace. Give much help. Bless this day. Bless the lives of these two people who have come to give themselves one to another in Christ's name. And so, Father, be with every family here. Be with those watching online today. Thankful for this technology we have, Lord, that enables this service to go across the world. Hear our prayers today. Bless us now. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen. Please listen to the Word of God found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Apostle Paul said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunts not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails." May the Lord bless His own precious and holy word to our hearts today. We are met together this afternoon in the presence of God to witness the joining together of this man and this woman in the holy and sacred covenant of marriage. The Almighty God, beginning a time, He created our first parents, male and female, and He instructed that the marriage of one man and one woman was according to His divine purpose and plan. It's fitting, therefore, that marriage should begin in the house of God with thanksgiving to Him and praying for His divine blessing upon the special day. Our Lord Jesus Christ also gave His stamp of approval to marriage when He was present at the marriage of Cana in Galilee during His life on earth. The union of a husband and a wife in mind, in heart, in body, it's intended by God for your mutual joy and the help and comfort that you can give to one another in prosperity, in adversity, to nurture children in the knowledge and fear and love of the Lord. And you know, because marriage is a divine ordinance, it's not to be entered into lightly or thoughtlessly or rashly, but advisedly, deliberately, and in reverent fear before God, and of course with earnest prayer for the Lord's blessing upon you. Friends and family, it is into this union that Tamar and Courtney have come to be joined today. The law of our land also gives its sanction to marriage, and therefore if anyone can give just cause why these two people should not be joined in matrimony, let them now declare it, or else forever after be silent on this matter. I require and charge you both that if you know of any reason why you may not be joined in marriage, you declare it now. Have a declaration for the groom and for the bride. Tamar Hermelin, will you have this woman to be your wife, to live together in the holy covenant of marriage? And according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, which commands, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Will you love her and comfort her, honor her and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, be faithful to her so long as you both shall live?
I will.
Yes. Courtney Henry, will you have this man to be your husband, to live together in the holy covenant of marriage, and according to Ephesians 5, verse 22, which commands, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Will you love, honor, and keep him in sickness and in health, submitting yourself to his God-ordained headship, and forsaking all others, be faithful to him so long as you both shall live? You have witnessed these promises that Tamar and Courtney have made to each other. We now come to the giving of the bride to this man. Who gives this woman to be married to this man? Ask the congregation to please stand while the bride and groom say their marriage vows. Please stand. Our Lord Jesus, He reinforced the divine purpose of marriage with these words. In Matthew 19, verse 5, He says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. You have come to be made husband and wife. Will you join hands and repeat these solemn vows after me? I, Tamar Hermelin, take you, Courtney Henry, to be my lawful wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love, honor, and cherish, until we be parted by death with the Almighty God as my helper. I make this solemn vow to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." To the bride, "I, Courtney Henry, take you, Tamar Hermelin, to be my lawful wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love, honor, and keep, until we be parted by death, with the Almighty God as my helper, I make this solemn vow to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Word of God describes the kind of love you have for each other. "For love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. It is not puffed up. It does not seek her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It endures all things. It never fails." We will now have the exchanging of the rings. I ask the groom to please take the ring for Courtney and take her left hand and repeat these words after me. "I give you this ring as a symbol of my vow, and with all that I am and all that I have, I will love, honor, and cherish you as long as I live. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." You may put the ring on Courtney's finger. Courtney, will you please take Tamar's left hand and repeat these words after me? "I give you this ring as a symbol of my vow, and with all that I am and all that I have, I will love, honor, and cherish you as long as I live. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." You can put the ring on Tamar's finger now. Very good. For as much as Tamar and Courtney have covenanted between themselves in holy wedlock and by the authority vested in me as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I now pronounce them husband and wife. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord cause his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Tamar, you may now lift the veil and kiss your bride. Easy now. The congregation may be seated. I have a challenge for the young couple from the Lord's Word today. It's a brief challenge, but I would encourage you all to pay attention and listen carefully to these words. It's taken from the book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 18, and these words, that in all things Christ may have the preeminence, that in all things Christ may have the preeminence. Tamar and Courtney, I'm very happy today and thankful for the privilege of conducting your marriage, and it's a joy for me. And you are setting out today on a new voyage, a voyage of life together. The making of a home can be one of the greatest blessings that God has given to humanity. It is a time of challenge, a time of opportunity, a time that will not be without its difficulties. Times of joy, happiness, times of sadness and distress, times of laughing together, times of weeping together. Yet no matter what you face, whether in prosperity or in times of leanness, be assured that as you both keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you honor him, he will bless and watch over your marriage. He will strengthen you in times of weakness. When you make him, Christ, the head of your home, he is and will be the silent listener to every conversation and the unseen guest at every meal. And as you honor him, he will stand by you. So what does it mean to make Christ preeminent in your lives? Well, it first of all has to take place in your lives personally. You both have to set the Lord independently of each other on the throne of your life. And when you do that as individuals, you will follow what Matthew 6:33 tells us, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, Courtney, you were in Sunday school many, many years ago, here, actually, along with Christy, and you may well have been taught that verse of Scripture from your youngest days. But maybe time and memory has failed a little bit for us all. And yet to be reminded again of those powerful words, Jesus said to all of us, if we seek him first, setting him in the first place, God has said he will add all other things unto us, necessary things. Not necessarily all things that we desire of greed or of covetousness, no, but all things that are needful, as you have sought him individually. And you know, it's such a sad reality today that we are here in this happy occasion with such a few number of people, and that's so hard for you all and for your family. And the thankful thing that you can have, at least, is that the service is being webcast now, and that you will be able to review later and go online and see again exactly all that transpired. And that will be a special thing. But let me say to everyone who is here, I don't know your state and your heart before God. I don't know where anyone is, because we cannot look on the inside. And so I would say to all, set the Lord first in your life personally, for you, Tamar, for you, Courtney, but for every one of us here. It's the only recipe for happiness in life, for the joy and certainty of knowing that you have a home in heaven. Because when Christ is your Savior, when he has washed our sins away by his own precious blood, then we know we have hope and a home in heaven. And so we are to seek him. But let me take it a step further for the married couple, that you must set the Lord first in your marriage. One of the greatest problems in marriages is self-centeredness. I want things my way. And if I don't get things my way, I'm going to stamp my feet like a little baby and take my toy and go somewhere else. You get the picture. So selfishness within relationships is something that will damage your marriage. It will hurt you both. It will hurt your family that are extended beyond this. And so the idea of setting Christ as the preeminent one individually in your lives and then personally together in your marriage, it's a key foundation principle that will help you to go forward in your life. Yeah, there are going to be troubles. You're going to have problems. You're going to have financial problems possibly. You're going to have difficulty of jobs, employment. You could have a host of things, sickness. But you know, when a couple determines that Jesus is going to be the first in our marriage together, and you will give, Tamar, yourself to your wife as you have vowed today, and Courtney, as you will give to your husband yourself as you have vowed today, and in so doing, you set the Lord Jesus in the first place between the two of you. Because if you are seeking the Lord and you are seeking the Lord, you remember the little illustration I told you in the triangle? Well, if Courtney's here and Tamar's here and God's at the top, the closer that you come to the Lord, the closer you become to each other. And that's the principle that God has given us. You set the Lord first yourself in your own life. Set him first in your marriage. But then finally, it's so important that you set him first in your family as God grants you children in your home. Sometimes parents make a mistake, and they exalt their children to a level that is beyond their love for the Lord, beyond their setting of Christ first in their family. It's so essential. And the way you will mark this is by wanting your children, if God so blesses you with children, that you will want them to be led to also have the Lord first in their life. That will be the principle. And then following that simple thing, well, you will know his joy and his peace, his blessing in your lives together. That's my prayer for you. It's your prayer for each other, I know. And those here today who know Christ, that will be your prayer for them as well. Such a special thing. Yes. Let's close, please, in a word of prayer. Father, today as we are in your presence, and Lord, you have heard all the words that we have spoken. You know our minds, our thoughts, you know our hearts. We cannot hide anything, Lord, from you. And I pray that as words have been spoken, as vows have been made, as commitments have been solidified, by solemn speech. Lord, I'm asking today for your rich and mighty blessing upon this couple, that their lives together would be that which would lift a song of praise before the God of heaven. Lord, hear our prayer. Bless every family member. Bless, Lord, those who can't be with us today. Comfort their hearts. Let them rejoice where they are with this couple now. Receive our thanksgiving, Father, for all that you've given to us and all, Lord, that you mean in our hearts. Please, Lord, forgive us for our transgressions, our sins. We are unworthy of the least of your mercies. And yet, Father, you have given to us the very greatest of life, salvation, forgiveness, and all through our Lord Jesus. Help us, we pray, that he will be preeminent in all of our lives. Bless now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to now retire to this little table over here where we have a signing of the necessary documents. And during that time, the organist is going to be playing. The words will be on the screen behind me. And you're welcome to sing with all your heart, or you can just watch the words and listen to a very well-known hymn. So let's have the folks, we'll come over here now to the signing table. my very great delight and honor to introduce to you Mr. and Mrs. Hermelin.